This is Linus's speech on the true meaning of Christmas. Charlie Brown said, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" To which Linus responds, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please." "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all my people. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." That is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And thank you, Charles Schultz, for bringing that important piece to Charlie Brown Christmas. I'm going to share with you one other poetic reflection on the meaning of the season. This is from Madeline L'Engle, entitled First Coming. "He did not wait till the world was ready, till men and nations were at peace. He came when the heavens were unsteady, and prisoners cried out for release. He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. He dined with sinners in all their grime, turned water into wine. He did not wait till hearts were pure. In joy he came to a tarnished world of sin and doubt. To a world like ours, of anguished shame he came, and his light would not go out. He came to a world which did not mesh, to heal its tangles, shield its scorn. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, the Maker of the stars was born. We cannot wait till the world is sane to raise our songs with joyful voice, for to share our grief, to touch our pain. He came with love. Rejoice, rejoice." And as I mentioned, ready or not, Christmas is coming. It's unstoppable. It's on its way. So I just want to briefly reflect on, well, I guess my own kind of finally getting into the spirit of the season. And a lot of that came together yesterday, where I was able to spend some time with a family, was able to play some Christmas music, had the Christmas tree with lights and decorated and presents underneath. And that wouldn't be complete without all the cats plotting their next mischievous move involving both presents and an ornament and possibly the water underneath the tree. But it finally came together. It's a process, this whole Advent season, as it kind of builds towards this beautiful day. And it's part of the season that I consider the fun part, because, ready or not, Christmas is coming. It's less than a week away, so if you haven't gotten all your presents, well, it may or may not get there on time. You have to let go of some of that. For me personally, it's also a week following a relative flurry of activity for the entire fall season, including school, work, soccer season, my doctoral program, which I still have a 25-page paper that's due tomorrow. It's been a fun exercise. The whole topic has been incarnational theology. Incarnational theology. What does it mean to have spirit in flesh? What does that mean to have the essence of the birth of Jesus into this world? How does that change things? And looking at that from all the various ways you can look at that from Scripture, in the world, and putting this all together. I'm having fun myself. I'm tying this together with super string theoretical physics, neuroscience, ecology, God, and human responsibilities, and the mystery of incarnation, that God became flesh. What does that mean for all of us? Stay tuned. I've got more. 25 pages of it. I really want to hear all the details of that, but it's been a fun exercise. And so this week is kind of like the first week. The kids are finally out of school, so I get more time with them. The busyness of schedules is eased up. And, you know, that's what makes the holidays. They are, that name comes out of holy days. To make them holy, you have to create the space. You have to create time to set aside the busyness, the activities of life, of the daily stresses. And it's only then, when you've let down all of the busyness, the business, that something new, something alternative than the busyness can enter in. That simple observation as we look upon our modern world, that is, it's virtually impossible not to look around and see that the world is celebrating something new. This celebration of the birth of the Messiah into our world remains an open invitation for all of us to lead lives where we too, in our own small and larger ways, will be remembered for our contribution to the world. One simple way that we can all participate in this is each of us, each day, we have opportunities to celebrate in this much larger party that we're celebrating in a few days. I mean, some people celebrate birthdays, some don't, but it's an opportunity to celebrate. One way that we can participate in this celebration, ask ourselves these questions. Have I been kind? Have I eased someone's burden? Did someone smile because of my participation in their life? If so, well, we're all co-creatively creating small streams of kindness, small streams that are leading to larger tributaries and rivers of courage and compassion. No small act of kindness ever goes unnoticed. And in the words of St. Francis of Assisi, who says, "Can true humility and compassion exist in our words and in our eyes unless we know we too are capable of any act?" And Richard Rohr has this to say as a continuation of that. He says, "Jesus uses a number of images that illustrate the tension between good and evil. They seem to say this world is a mixture of different things, and unless you learn how to see deeply, you don't know which is which, and you don't notice that God allows both good and bad to grow in the same field. When a student asks Jesus if he should pull all the weeds, Jesus says to let them both grow together until the harvest. Then at the end of time, God will decide what is wheat and what is a weed. In a certain way, he is saying it is none of our business to fully figure it out. This is really quite risky of God, and it takes tremendous courage on our part to trust God and ourselves here. We are all a mixture of weeds and wheat, and we always will be. As Martin Luther put it, we are simul gestus et peccator. We are simultaneously saint and sinner. That's the mystery of holding weeds and wheat together in our one field of life. It takes a lot more patience, compassion, forgiveness, and love than aiming for some illusory perfection that is usually blind to its own faults. Acknowledging both the wheat and the weeds in us keeps us from thinking too highly of ourselves and then also from dismissing ourselves as terrible. To avoid cynicism and negativity, you have to learn to accept and forgive this mixed bag of reality that you are, and everyone else is too. If you don't, you'll likely become a very angry person. To accept the weeds doesn't mean that you say it's okay to be ignorant and evil. It means you have some real wisdom about yourself. You can see your weeds and acknowledge when you are not compassionate or caring. You have to name the weed as a weed. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. The church is not perfect. America is not perfect. If we must have perfection to be happy with ourselves, we have only two choices. We can blind ourselves to our own evil and deny the weeds, or we can give up in discouragement and deny the wheat. It takes uncommon humility to carry both the dark and the light side of things. The only true perfection available to humans is the honest acceptance of our imperfection. This is precisely what divine perfection can help us do. Only God in us can love imperfect and broken things. By ourselves, we largely fail. Learning how to love, which is our life's project, is quite simply learning to accept our messy reality. If you love anyone, then you have learned to accept them despite their faults. You see a few things you'd like to change in your partner, your children, yourself. By the largeness of God within you, you are able to trust that the good is deeper than the bad, and usually well hidden. This is probably why so many of Jesus' parables are about hiddenness, seeking, and finding. There's a lot there. A lot of it is accepting the reality that we are all a mixed bag there. We live in a messy world with mixed messages from just about everywhere. And that's okay. This is how God designed it, with wheat among the weeds. And our job is not to try and pull out all the weeds. That is the responsibility only suitable to God. The texture of life is such that the weeds grow right alongside the wheat, the good along with the bad. So I want to share another piece of wisdom here. Helps us navigate the messiness of the world. I shared this a month ago and people liked it, so I'm going to share it once again in case you weren't here a month ago. And this is from Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Maybe, from A New Earth, where he says, the deeper interconnectedness of all things and events implies that the mental labels of good and bad are ultimately illusory. They always imply a limited perspective, and so are true only relatively and temporarily. This is illustrated in the story of a wise man who won an expensive car in a lottery. His family and friends were very happy for him and came to celebrate. Isn't it great, they said. You are so lucky. The man smiled and said, maybe. For a few weeks, he enjoyed driving the car. Then one day, a drunken driver crashed into his new car at an intersection, and he ended up in the hospital with multiple injuries. His family and friends came to him and said, that was really unfortunate. Again, the man smiled and said, maybe. While he was still in the hospital one night, there was a landslide and his house fell into the sea. Again, his friends came the next day and said, weren't you lucky to have been here in the hospital? Again, he said, maybe. The wise man's maybe signifies a refusal to judge anything that happens. Instead of judging what happens and what is, he accepts it and so enters into a conscious alignment with higher order. He knows that often it is impossible for the mind to understand what place or purpose a seemingly random event has in the tapestry of the whole. But there are no random events, nor are there events or things that exist by and for themselves in isolation. The atoms that make up your body were once forged inside stars, and the causes of even the smallest event are virtually infinite and connected with the whole in incomprehensible ways. If you wanted to trace back the cause of any event, you would have to go back all the way to the beginning of creation. The cosmos is not chaotic. The very word cosmos means order. But this is not an order the human mind can ever comprehend, although it can sometimes glimpse it. I believe a big part of the sacred mystery to life and to the celebration we are all participating in, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a part of glimpsing the sacredness. That sacred coming into the world. And I do invite all of us to embrace the power of maybe. I'm going to give you one even more radical thing than the power of maybe. One decision that will radically shift your entire life. And if you make this choice, you will never make it until you are absolutely ready with seriousness of resolve. And this is to create no more problems in life for yourself or for others. This is another quote from Tolle. When you create a problem, you create pain. All it takes is one simple choice, a simple decision. No matter what happens, I will create no more pain for myself. I will create no more problems. Although it is a simple choice, it is also very radical. You won't make that choice unless you are truly fed up with suffering, unless you have truly had enough. And you won't be able to go through with it unless you access the power of now. If you create more pain for yourself, then you create more pain for others. You also no longer contaminate the beautiful earth, your inner space, and the collective human psyche with negativity of problem making. So we have a lot here. The power of maybe, the power of creating no more problems, but we can't do this alone. And the essence of the message is simply tapping into that power which is beyond ourselves, the power of the living God's presence in us, activated in the here and in the now. So may the celebration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ inspire us all to live in a world in a way that glorifies Him. Amen.